This morning is the morning that we celebrate the birth of Jesus, and you know, I do things maybe just a little bit different than some places. At least I know that where I grew up and where she grew up and some friends and family, and I'm saying it's wrong or right, but you know, I try to hear from God each and every message, and so I won't be having a traditional Christmas message that talks about you know, the birth of Jesus, but I think it's important that we at least mention what happened and let it be explained to us. You know, I just thought I couldn't do any better than this video that I found. And so we're going to put a video up for you, just kind of explaining the Christmas miracle of Jesus being born, because it's done way better than I could do it. And so at this time, go ahead and dim the lights too.
An angel came to see Mary. She was doing laundry, and then the angel just appeared and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, Mary, you're going to have, Mary, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby and you will call him Jesus. And then Mary was like, I'm not going to have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager. I'm not married. Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
I don't know.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel.
She said, this donkey's fast. They tried to go to a hotel and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
we have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place in here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable. And then he just pointed the way and they followed. When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is King of the Jews.
The angel were singing.
Glorious. And then the shepherds said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. And then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
Well, we should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one that I have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold ring and Latimer.
And I don't know how I would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly. Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
I have to thank Vinny for that. He found that for me at church. I'm not sure where the church was, but church put that on, and I thought that would be cute. So there's the Christmas story. Well, let's pray and end this thing. You can go home. No, I'm just kidding. But praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, you can open to Hebrews chapter 12. Now, last night in Olean, I also pastor Family Church in Olean, for those that aren't aware of it. And normally my services go from 45 minutes to an hour, but I told them last night that we would be out in an hour from start to finish. And let me tell you something, Christmas miracles exist, because we were. Praise God. So we're not trying to get out of here fast, but it won't be as long as normal. But what we're going to, it's going to be... It's kind of going to be like fast food this morning, but not McDonald's quality. Amen. It'll be fast, but it'll be packed with a punch, praise God, to change your life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful and so thankful for all that you've given, all that you've done for us through your son, Jesus. Lord, we're so thankful that that gift was a demonstration to us of how much you love us, how much you care for us, that you are forever for mankind. And so, Lord, we just love you and are so grateful. Lord, give the people ears to hear this morning. Spirits, open their heart. Holy Spirit, open their heart to receive what needs to be imparted today. And Father, may my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We should be on part 4 of our series, Following the Holy Spirit. But as I was meditating and seeking God on that service, and I was ready to preach that, he just changed things up a little bit for Christmas morning, and so we're going to follow the Holy Ghost, but you'll be blessed, amen? So Hebrews chapter 12, if you don't have your Bibles, we have the Bible for you up there on the screen, but I'm going to go ahead and read this verse. It says, "Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us," and this is what I want us to focus on, "and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And so the Bible here tells us that we all have a race set before us. One verse says this, "working out your own salvation with fear and trembling." You know, every one of us has a course. Every one of us has a path. Every one of us has a plan that God has put before our lives. He said, "I know the plans that I have for you." You know why people struggle in life and constantly are frustrated? They're just not doing it God's way. God is the most, the smartest, the most compassionate, loving, kind, full of wisdom entity that there has ever been, and he has made a plan for you, and if we'll get on God's path for our life, that's where the blessing comes, amen? You just keep frustrating and frustrating, there'll be voids and voids and voids, but God will fill those voids, amen? But he's got a path, he's got a plan for your life, the Bible says so, and it says that it's set before us. Now here's what I want you to see, on that path, on that race that you're running, you know, we all might be at different parts of the race. You know, when somebody runs a long-distance race, if you talk to long-distance runners, they'll tell you there's certain stages in the race. There might be different challenges in the race. There might be different obstacles in the race. There might be, you know, a water portion. There might be a hill. There might be a mountain. There might be a downhill. It might be just a straightaway. It might be whatever. But there's different points in the race and different things that could possibly trip you up and stumble. And also you hear from runners eventually that sometime they'll kick into a gear where they can just keep running and running and running. It doesn't even seem to bother them that much. And that didn't happen to me very often when I would run. But anyways, you know, there'd be times I'd run maybe 5 to 7 miles on a treadmill and it would seem like the world's coming to an end. And then there'd be other times I'd run 5 to 7 miles on a treadmill and it would feel like I could do another 5 to 7 miles. Well, some of you might be at different places in your walk with God, in your path with God. You might be down on the side of the road and need somebody to pick you up. You might be just struggling along and need someone to give you a boost. You might be just running and you've hit that runner's high where it's just, you're running, you're victorious, things are working out and you're walking in faith. Wherever you're at this morning, this message is going to help you. If you're down at the side of the road on the race and you feel like you're down and out in life, this message will pick you back up. Praise God. If you need a pick-me-up, this message will fuel you and get you going. Praise God. It'll give you a boost, you know, like someone coming. You ever remember the roller derby where they'd come up behind someone and grab them and slingshot them? That's what this message will do for you. If you're running your race and things are victorious and things are going well for you, well, how many of you know even a runner that's doing really well, they need to stay hydrated. This will hydrate you. Jesus is the living water. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it'll bless you wherever you're at, and it'll help you. Glory to God. And I'm excited for that because going into the new year, we want to be on the right path. We want to be on the right foot. Praise God. And, you know, we're going to talk about, that's going to help you, talking about the coming of Jesus today and what it means for your life. You know, I truly believe that Christmas, in the plan of redemption, and what I mean by redemption is Jesus coming to the earth, bearing the sins of mankind, dying on the cross so that we could receive salvation, eternal life, become children of God, and live eternally. That's what our word preaches, amen? That's what we believe. And I believe that in redemption, in salvation, Christmas is the underrated holiday. And I'm going to tell you why. Don't get me wrong, I'm thankful for Easter and what it stands for with Calvary and the cross and the blood, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Without that, we can't receive eternal life. But ladies and gentlemen, the cross never happens without the manger. If there wasn't first the manger and the sending of Jesus, we don't even get to the cross. Praise God. And so a lot of times when we think about and when we glorify in salvation, you know, I know a lot of people are excited about the birth of Jesus, but really, do you understand that the birth of Jesus was the entryway or the opening for you to be able, that started the opportunity for you to be able to walk into all that God has for you. It didn't start at the cross. It was stamped and finished at the cross, but it started at the manger. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I want to show you some things. Go with me to John 3:16. Of course, we know this verse, but I want to point this out. You know, a lot of times we use this verse and think of this verse as Jesus dying on the cross. And thank God he did. Aren't you glad? And I love that it says in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Now look at this. "That whosoever believeth." Now I don't know about you, but the church I grew up in, church she grew up in, they told you you had to be a certain person to get God to love you. They told you you had to jump through religious hoops to get God to love you. They told you you had to, you know, hang the moon spiritually before God would love you. But that's not what the Bible says. It says whosoever would simply believe on him. That's why God, churches have turned people off from God. People have turned people off from God because they've made it seem hard. They've beat them over the head with everything wrong they've done. And God is saying, if you'll believe in me, I'll accept you. Praise God. He said, whosoever believes in me should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, when it says God so loved the world that he gave, a lot of times we think, because we associate the not perishing and everlasting life with salvation and redemption on the cross. But when God gave Jesus, he gave him first as a baby. Amen. As a little baby boy inside of his mama, and then in a manger that we sing about. Praise God. So that verse right there that we love, that started at the cross. Go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Praise God. Romans 5 and verse 8. It says, "But God commendeth," that word commendeth is the word demonstrate. It says, "God demonstrated his love towards us." You know, it's one thing to say how much you appreciate someone. It's one thing to say how much you love them. But it's another thing to do something. You answer me this question and tell me if I'm wrong. But if someone walks up to you and hands you a card that says, "I really appreciate you," that's nice. But if someone else walks up to you with a card and says, "I really appreciate you," in that card, and there's a $500 check in there, you tell me who you think's going to like you more. Who appreciates you more. Why? Because when there's a demonstration behind the words, it means a whole lot more. And the Bible doesn't say that God just spoke it. It says he demonstrated his love, that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now again, we hear that and we think Calvary and we think of Easter and we think of the cross and Jesus hanging on the cross. But Jesus started dying and his mission started to die. That was his whole mission on the earth. To come, bring the kingdom of God, display who God was, but end up on the cross and die for us. That started in the manger. We know that that's his birth, but actually his death started the day he was born. He had a purpose and a mission. So that verse right there, God demonstrated his love in that he gave us Jesus on Christmas morning, showing the world, this is your way out. Praise God. This is your answer. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at some things concerning Jesus coming. Four things, won't take very long, and they should, because the Holy Ghost is good and he tells me what to say and I'm not smart enough to know what to say, but he knows what to say, and he knows what everybody's going through in here. So at least one out of these four points is going to strike a chord in your heart, and it's going to meet you right exactly where you're at, and it's going to be your answer. It's going to be your help. It's going to be your opportunity for a better tomorrow. Amen? Hallelujah. You're looking at somebody that used to be so hooked up on drugs and alcohol, had a gambling problem like you wouldn't believe, depressed to the point that I had a .357 Magnum loaded with the barrel, the hammer cocked in the back of my throat, ready to pull the trigger until God saved my life. And here I am today, born again, free from addictions, free from depression. I mean, I saw prison walls. I saw behind... should have put me in the padded walls. I'm telling you, I've seen it all, but Jesus saved me from it all. And you might not be in that extreme of circumstance. You might just need a little help with your money. Jesus will help you. You might need a little help in your marriage. Jesus will help you. You might need a little help in your body and physical healing, in your mind, in your emotions. Jesus can help you. Or you might be like me and you're a complete basket case. Jesus can help you. Right. Amen. So I'm going to show you four things, praise God, and what this is going to do on your path that you are, that the Bible says. It is going to dump kerosene on your fire, and it's going to make you burn bright going into the new year. And Christmas will no longer be just Christmas. You'll start to, hopefully this message will burn in you, and you'll remember every time we celebrate Christmas what Jesus did for us through his coming. Go to John chapter 10 and verse 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. Praise God. I so appreciate the people that could be here this morning. I know it's a sacrifice, to come and, maybe do presents early or kids have to leave their stuff. But God will bless you for it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. John chapter 10 and verse 10. Now notice this. It says, the thief cometh not, but he does come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus then said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, when did he first come? At Christmas. In the manger, praise God. Abundant life that the Bible says he wants you to have more abundantly was made first available, and it started on this earth at the birth of Jesus. Praise God. Now, if you don't know what that really means, abundant life, that word life in the Greek, the New Testament was written in Greek, we translate it into English, but that Greek word life is the Greek word zoe, and that word means the abundant God kind of life. One translation says it this way, the life as God enjoys it. Jesus said, my coming opens up a way for people to live like God lives in heaven. Remember over there in the Old Testament when he told the children of Israel who weren't even his children, he said, you will have days of heaven upon the earth. Well, what's going on in heaven? There's no sickness. There's no depression. There's no lack. There's no disease. There's no mental torment. There's no physical torment. There's no emotional torment. It's peace and victory and prosperity and health and joy. And Jesus said, my coming, which was at first at his birth, he said, enables you to walk into the abundant life. And it's important for you to understand, church, that the Bible says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, not Jesus, not God. The thief comes, but Jesus said, I'm here to bring you the opposite. I'm here to give you life.
Praise God.
And you know this from being here. If you don't, I'll tell it to you. You know that the Bible's flow for the Christian is faith. We overcome by faith. We receive by faith. We walk into victory by faith. We keep the devil, the Bible says, at bay by faith. Well, you can't have a lick of faith if in the back of your mind you think God's against you. The very first part that for you to become a faith giant, you have to get it solidified in your heart. God does not want you sick. God does not want you broke. God does not want you depressed. God does not want you hurt. God wants you living like he's living. You say, I don't know if I can believe that. Well, then why did his son, who remember, his son said, I only say what I see him say. I only do what he does. He prayed one time. He said, Father, I want your will to be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said, what's going on up there, health, wealth, prosperity, joy, peace, and victory, I want it to invade down here. Jesus said, the way that's going to happen is entrance through the abundant life.
Amen.
That was available to you.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I don't know. I know what church taught me that I grew up in. They taught me sickness and poverty and, hang on dear here in life. And when you get to the sweet by and by, no. Heaven on earth. Praise God.
Right.
Well, that was number one, what Jesus offered you in his coming at Christmas time. You know, we have Christmas traditions. Maybe you go drive around, look at lights. You watch certain movies. Maybe you eat certain things. One tradition ought to be the celebration that abundant life was made available. The Zoe tradition. We ought to start having Zoe celebrations on Christmas. The abundant life of God was made available. Go with me to John 3 and verse 17. Right after John 3 and verse 16. This is going to bless you. Praise God. Number one, Jesus is coming, offered you the opportunity to be to walk into abundant life, heaven on the earth. John chapter 3 and verse 17. Now notice this. He said, for God did not send his son into the world. Well, when did he send his son into the world? At the birth and the manger. He said he did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, Kim Lai, if you'd go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, the Bible says God didn't send Jesus to condemn you. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore, what's that next word? Now. Everybody say now.
No.
That means right now. No condemnation. You know what condemnation is? A sense of guilt, a sense of wrongdoing, a sense of inferiority. The fact that this is how most people view God, that he's up in heaven just looking at every single thing they did wrong, that they're not good enough to be accepted by him, that he's beating them over the head with a spiritual baseball bat. No, the Bible says Jesus wasn't sent to condemn. The Bible says there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. The second thing that Jesus' coming did opened you a door and an opportunity to be free from your past and your failures and every single mistake you've ever made.
Praise God.
No condemnation. In fact, go with me, Kim Lai, to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Jesus offered you a way out from your past. You know how many people I meet with that I talk to them and they say, Pastor, I can't do that. I can't go forward because I did that. I'm sure glad that didn't apply to me, because there's no natural earthly reason why I should be able to be up here in front of people telling you how to live your life and how to be blessed if we went by past. But see, Jesus came in and wiped it out. Praise God. And that's what it'll do for everybody here. So many people, they want to go forward, but you can't go forward holding on to... It's hard to go two directions at once.
Right.
He said, if we confess our sins, that's wrongdoing, anything. He is faithful. Look at that. If we confess our sins, he hears them and gets mad and angry, beats us up, kicks us around, tells us how stupid can you be? What in the world is wrong with you? No. He said, if we'll confess it, he's faithful to what? Forgive. To forgive us of our sins and cleanse us, now get this, from all... Because you're sitting there thinking, well, that might apply to my neighbor, that might apply to this person, but it sure doesn't apply to me. No, 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 it applies to you. He said he'll forgive you of all your sins.
Praise the Lord. And
cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The second thing Jesus offered you is freedom from your past and your failures. What does that mean? 5 minutes before you walked in the door and you did something stupid, it can be forgiven. You can walk out of here brand new. Now, the only way that you're going to continue to live according to that is if you just decide to say, I'm not going to accept what God offers me. Why wouldn't you accept the gift of forgiveness? And if the devil tries to beat you up over the head about what you did, you're thinking about it, you say, oh, no, God forgave that. You know, it's kind of like when you spill something on your shirt, you take it to the dry cleaners, and it looks bad, ketchup all over, you take it to the dry cleaners, you get it back, and you can't find it. Well, when you get that shirt back, you're not walking to the car and saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe I spilled on that shirt. That's stupid. You're walking to the car saying, oh yes, it's gone. I can't even see it. My favorite shirt. I can wear it again.
Yeah.
And you're not beating yourself up. It's the same way you're saying. Why are you sitting there beating yourself up? You ought to be like, I'm free from that. The God of the universe said so.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it's the people that will take God at his word are the ones that will be successful. So number one, he offered you abundant life. Number two, he offered you a freedom from your past. Go with me to Romans 8 and verse 32. Romans 8 and verse 32. He is faithful. It says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. When did the delivering him up for us all start? At the manger.
Amen.
At the manger. His birth. He said, he that spared him not but gave him, he demonstrated by giving him. He said, now notice this. He says, I gave you Jesus. I gave you my boy. He says, how shall he with him not freely? Freely. You ever been walking? I walk my dog oftentimes. I'll see this on the side of the road. Or you're driving and somebody has out in front. They'll have something out in front of the yard and a big sign on a cardboard thing. It says, free. What's that mean? You just pull up. You ain't got to ask. You ain't got to beg for it. You ain't got to pay for it. You just put that in your vehicle, right? It's free. Well, he said, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? What are all things? Pertaining to your life and what you would need. He said, all that you would need in this life. Now, this will help you understand this better. If you get God as your father, how many dads and moms we have in here? My hope is that you want nothing but the best for your children. Health and wealth, prosperity, joy, peace, protection. Why would you want that for your children, but God wouldn't want that for his children? Of course he would want you to have all things that pertain to your life. But the Bible says through Jesus, he offered you the opportunity to have all things that you need in your life. And you might be sitting there thinking, Pastor, I see it in the Word, and I hear you yipping and yelling and spitting and whatever you're doing up there. I hear it. But why isn't it coming to pass in my life? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Let me answer it. Go to Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. He said, I'll freely give you all things. Either he was a liar or he wasn't. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. You want to know why all things have eluded you and have been withheld from your life? I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you the avenue, how to get them. Jesus said unto him, if you... Notice what he did. He took the responsibility off of himself and put it on the person. He said, if you can believe. What's that word believe? It's just another word for faith. Jesus said, don't look at me. He said, if you can believe. Now notice this. All things. Kind of sounds like what we just read. How shall he not with him who spared not his own son but delivered up for us? How shall he not freely give us all things? Jesus said, if you can believe, then all things are possible to the person that what? Believes. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what happened. Jesus died on the cross, came to the earth, lived 33 and a half years, died on the cross, stamped it, said it is finished. That's like the equivalent of a top chef coming into your home, bringing the ingredients with them, making a spread like you've never seen before, ringing the dinner bell, and you come into that table and it's all laid out, and you sit there and do nothing with it. That's what faith is. God's provided the spread. Faith is you taking a dip in the bowl, putting it on your plate, grabbing a fork, putting it up to your mouth. Now let me ask you a question. Would you ever get to the dinner table after a spread's laid out from a chef, I mean top chef, five-star chef, you get to that dinner table, would you sit there and say, oh, this next part is so hard.
Come on.
Oh, my gosh. No. Faith is simple. Jesus laid out all things, but he said they're going to come through the avenue of your belief. Not your pastors, not your wives, not your husband, not your kids, not your grandma, not your grandpa, not your neighbor, not your aunt or your uncle. It's going to flow through your faith.
Amen.
Why don't people receive all things? Because they think that God's promises just fall out of heaven and knock them on the head. No. He said, I've provided them, but the avenue they flow through is the avenue of faith.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah,
we know what's awesome about that. The all things means anything that you're facing right now in life that is negative.
Yeah.
Any financial, physical, emotional, mental, any type of mountain or problem that's in your way, that's an all thing. Jesus said, it's possible if you'll believe.
Yeah.
You know what faith is? It's just simply this, agreeing with God.
Yeah.
All faith is saying the word and agreeing with what God has said. What do I mean by that? Well, you have a stack of bills a mile high and a paycheck coming in, it doesn't meet those bills, yet the word says, my God shall supply all your needs. You have a choice now. The Bible says he will supply all your needs. Are you going to put faith in that? Or are you going to put faith in your income and put faith in your bills that it's not going to show up and then it never happens for me? Or you can put faith in the living God who's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that will provide, the El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. Put your faith in him. Give him an avenue to flow his power and then see all things come to pass in your life. Up to you.
Yeah,
it's up to you. God can't force you to partake.
That's right. Good work.
Why in the world do some Christians live so blessed and some Christians live constantly in crisis, chaos, and strife, and stress, trial after trial after trial? Does God just pick and choose and separate the ones he loves the most? I'll tell you what, if I do that with Caleb and Abby, I'm not a good dad. God's not separating. No, God says, here, it's available for y'all. What are you going to do with it?
Right.
Some choose to believe and some choose not to.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't know, that seems harsh. 2 million people in the Old Testament decided not to believe God, and they were kept out of what he said they could have. Two people, Caleb and Joshua, said, we believe you, Lord. They went right in.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
He needs your faith. So number one, it offered you abundant life, the chance to have heaven on earth. Number two, it offered you the freedom from your past and failures. Number three, it offered you the opportunity to walk into all things through faith. And then last but not least, 1 John 3 and verse 8. 1 John 3 and verse 8. Praise his name forevermore.
Amen.
If you're visiting with us and you're looking for a Bible teaching church, this is what we do every Sunday, every Wednesday. We just tell you about God's goodness, about God's plan for your life. I told the Lord when after he saved me and I almost died there, I said, Lord, I'll preach it from the front page to the back. I will not be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Save my life, my goodness. 1 John 3 and verse 8. says that he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Now notice this. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. When did Jesus first manifest in our eyes? At the manger. For this purpose Jesus was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Oh, who's the devil? The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, our adversary, the devil. He's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says we have an enemy. But here's the awesome thing about the enemy that we face. In Colossians chapter 2, if you'd go there, Kim Lai, Colossians 2 and verse 15. So the Bible said Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. In Colossians chapter 2, in verse 15 it says, and having spoiled, that word spoiled there is also the word put to naught, paralyzed, to disarm, one translation says. Jesus disarmed, sounds like destroyed them.
Yeah, amen.
Principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Well, that was one of the reasons he came to this earth. The devil was in control of the planet, and Jesus came to say, I'm going to destroy everything that you're doing. That's why Jesus said, in the world you might have some troubles, but be of good cheer. I have overcome them. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So here's what I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen. Fourth and last is that Jesus is coming, offered you an opportunity to walk in this world against a foe who is completely stripped of power, who is completely defeated, who's only got a big mouth, and his only power is left to deceive you away from the Word of God. If the devil wanted to kill you, he'd have done it before you got here today. If the devil could do anything he wanted, he'd have made your Christmas morning hell on earth, destroyed everything. He can't do whatever he wants. He only has access into the lives of the Christian that will allow him. The Bible says, don't give place to him.
That's right. Amen.
Jesus destroyed him. The Bible says we have authority over all of his power.
Yes.
Praise God. I'll tell you what. After today, if Jesus laying in a manger doesn't change how you think about Christmas, nothing will.
That's right.
He offered you a complete overhaul. A new direction, a new opportunity. It's not just away in a manger and we're all excited about that and pass around the candy canes and the presents. No, it's about our lives being radically changed by what Jesus did by coming to this earth.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And so I encourage you, we have this message, it'll be up on live stream probably tomorrow. And I encourage you to get and listen to this message again and get these things in your heart. You can't just hear this stuff one time. Get it in your heart and know what Jesus did for you. And wherever you are on that race, let this word pick you up. Let it propel you. Let it spring you forward. Let it light your fire. My God, 2017 has the opportunity, if you'll believe it, to be the best year of your life.
Amen.
That's what God offers people. I don't care what other churches are saying and other ministers on TV. The Bible says God is for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you?
Amen.
Amen. That money problem, that financial problem, that physical problem, that any problem, God's for you. He busts that thing down. He's God for crying out loud. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. So thankful for the word this morning. So grateful for the word. Jesus, you've offered us such hope and such help. And we just bless you and magnify your name this morning. We honor you and glorify you. Thank you, Jesus, for being so good to us. Thank you for being so good to us. You love us so much. We honor you and praise you. If I could ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes, please. Nobody looking around, just so we don't want to embarrass anybody. We're not. But ask yourself this question this morning in your heart. In your mind, ask this. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? You say, well, I don't want to think about that. Well, someday you're going to have to. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? Well, when I ask myself that question, I know the answer is heaven. And you might say, well, how can you be so certain, preacher? The Bible says if I believe in Jesus and ask him into my heart, that he'll come in and save me and I'll have eternity in heaven. But not only that, he'll become my father here on the earth. And he's a good dad. He's a helping dad. He's a loving dad. He's a providing dad. He's a healing dad. So if you're here this morning, you could say, Pastor, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. You might say, and now ask yourself this, do you believe in the Lord? What do you mean? Do you believe he came to the earth? Do you believe he died and rose again? If you do, you're qualified for salvation. The last thing you have to do is to ask him into your life. Jesus is not the SWAT team. He does not bust the front door down. He needs to be invited in. Hallelujah. And so if you're here this morning, listen, it doesn't mean you have to ever come back here. It doesn't mean you have to be a member of this church. It doesn't matter how many bad things you've done, good things you've done, how much church or how little church you've attended. Jesus said, if you believe on me, you won't perish. Notice he didn't say it. If you went to church enough, you'd go to heaven. If you were this kind of a person, you'd go to heaven. No, that's what people like to tell you to scare you, but it's just not true. God's merciful, and he says, if you believe in me, you won't perish but have everlasting life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we will not have anybody come forward. I won't have anybody stand up or say anything on your own. All heads are bowed, all eyes are closed. But if you want to receive Jesus here this morning, would you just lift your hand in the air and I'll have you put it right back down. Anybody at all in this church that's never received Jesus. I don't want to rush this because sometimes people are shy. I promise you, you put your hand up, I'll have you put it right back down between you and God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody want to receive Jesus before we close the service? Just lift your hand in the air and put it right back down. Anybody at all before we close? I'm patient because sometimes people are a little shy. Anybody before we close, I want to give an opportunity to receive the Lord. Going once. Anybody just... Father, we don't see any hands in here, but I trust that all of us are born again. But Father, if by chance there's somebody under the sound of my voice here or listening over the internet now or in the future that has never made Jesus the Lord of their life, I pray that they would not pass from this earth until they've accepted Jesus into their heart. And Father, we'll give you all the praise. We'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before you're dismissed, if you just sit there, you can go ahead and have the ushers, you can begin to start passing things out. If someone would put some up here on my pulpit, I'm going to get a song playing in the back. Just while you're receiving the elements right now, if you would just be in reverent worship to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's see here. I might put a Christmas song on. You just turn it down. You go ahead and play this now, and then I'll tell you the volume. To worship him, love on him. It all started at the manger. Praise God. Tim Lai, we're going to pull up 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Sleep on the head. The cattle on the wind, the poor baby wakes. The little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus. Look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care and take us to heaven to live with thee
Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care and take us to heaven to live with thee there. And take us.
Hallelujah. Does anybody? Everybody in? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, the Apostle Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." So if you take your bread, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." If you'd go ahead and break your bread and eat. Father, we're so thankful for the body of Jesus that was broken for us. Lord, we're so thankful for that demonstration of mercy that you were willing to go through that so that we could walk into healing. By your stripes we are healed, and we thank you so much. If you take your cup, in verse 25 it says, "In the same manner he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes.'" Go ahead and drink. Father, we're so thankful for the blood of Jesus that was spilled for us for the remission of our sins. We thank you. It's by the precious blood of Jesus that we are born again. And Father, we just thank you for this day and for this service. And we love you and glorify you and magnify you and thank you for what Christmas means. Not only is it a sweet time to celebrate the birth of your Son, but Father, so much was made available to us from the birth of Jesus, which led to the death, burial, and resurrection. So, Father, we glorify you and we thank you this morning. We thank you 2017 will be a new and a better year for us, walking in the light and in the truth of what you've provided for us, which started 2,000 and some years ago in Bethlehem. And so we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you're dismissed, if you're on the end, if you'll pass your cups to the end row, and if you're in this middle section, pass them down that way. And pass them all the way to the end, and the ushers will get those. Don't forget, no fellowship, but don't forget also, we have Wednesday night service this week. Have a good Christmas, Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next. No, I won't. See you Wednesday, before next year. Anyway, we'll see you Wednesday night. You're dismissed.